It's now 7:03. Here's Brandon Peoples with a special guest on the phone.
Yep, it is the first of the legislative updates here for 2022. We do these typically on Friday mornings here on KMAN, and we have joining us on the phone 67th District Representative Sydney Carlin of Manhattan. Good morning, Sydney.
Good morning. How are you this morning, bright and early?
Oh man, I'm doing great. It's Friday. Although it sounds like we're going to have some snow this weekend, so that's
Just in time. Just in time for the weekend, right? Well, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to call this morning. The budget news has been reported all around the state, but I wanted to put my voice on it because I have been there during times when we went in very sad, knowing that we were going to cut $500 million every year for several years in a row out of our plan. So this week, we heard our budget news that we have come, since July, we've come up $1.5 billion more revenue than we projected. So it has been quite a turnaround, and I'm really pleased that I feel like I've been a part of that because I helped to repeal the terrible tax cuts of 2011. And now, that was an important feature in my time in office, is to see that how the state income is affected by recession, by of actions of the legislature, and by actions outside, and how we turn those things around. So very excited, and even though all of things the governor has proposed, we were told yesterday, yes, it's a wonderful budget, the best we've ever seen, but it'll get changed, which we know to be true. And what we wanted to do, what the governor is proposing, is to keep a flexible plan so that we can make adjustments as time changes. And I'm getting a little bit of feedback. I don't know, what should I do? Oh. Do I need to change my volume here?
I'm not sure. That happens from time to time. It's just technology.
I'll put you on speaker at home. Maybe that'll help me. Okay. Now, I don't have it in my ear.
Okay. Well, that'll work.
But I know you've had some information on the radio. I don't get to hear you when I'm over there. Do you have any questions about anything that you've heard?
Well, certainly. I know that it's been discussed about having maybe a rainy day fund set up at some point. What are your thoughts on doing something like that?
Oh, absolutely. During the downturn, when we were cutting budgets and borrowing from KDOT every day, we set up a formula for a rainy day fund, and it depended on a percentage of our ending balance and our projected ending balance. And we had zero balance in the rainy day fund, but I'm so excited that the governor has proposed $600 million be put in a rainy day fund, which would actually operate the state of Kansas for only 25 days. But we had nothing to fall back on. We were borrowing money for those times, and this would be a very responsible move, and we're all excited to have a deposit for our rainy day fund.
There was also a discussion, I know, in her State of the State address about freezing college tuition. Have you had a chance to dive into that a little bit since Tuesday?
Yes, I did. Thank you. Yes, we talked about that earlier. The Board of Regents presents a budget to the governor every year, and the governor actually recommended everything they asked for this year. I'm not sure that we'll keep everything, but she did recommend it all. And the freeze in tuition is paid for in her budget. She didn't freeze it and then expect universities to cover it. She froze the tuition and allowed for the inflation by funding the budget that they asked for. There'll be 45.7 million to universities, and it takes them back to the pre-pandemic levels that and the pre-Brownback cut levels of funding, which, you know, we're still not ahead of the game, but we're catching. This catches us up to the cuts that have been made and where we were before we had to shut down for the pandemic. So that is really good news. There's money for K-12 capital improvements. There's money for deferred maintenance. There's money for, and she took care of all of higher education. She improved all of higher education with her recommendation for community colleges and technical colleges, one-time projects of $15 million so that they can do some improving on their campuses, and she's putting money towards their tuition. And it's just a very thorough look at what she's doing. And I pulled up the budget plan. Just go, if you're interested in looking at the budget, it's a very nice presentation, the nicest we've ever seen, really detailed what she's doing under www.governors.gov/budget, I think, is all I put in, and I got it, and that's good for me because I'm terrible with websites. But she put in the Commerce Department, she put in money for grants for tuition and assistance and economic development, and also a 5% raise for all state employees, which is a big deal for Manhattan and other university communities.
Yeah, we're speaking with Sydney Carlin, the 67th District State Representative here representing Manhattan. There's always discussion on Medicaid expansion here, and I know that's going to be probably well debated here, but what are you optimistic or more pessimistic if that gets done this year?
Well, if it's ever been because of the money, I'm very optimistic because federal government is offering 8 quarters of money to pay for Medicaid expansion to any state that expands Medicaid that has not done it. And I didn't know until we cleared it up this weekend during question and answer time that that also includes any state, any time. It isn't, there's no time limit on that. That is a federal plan to get people on board. We're the only state in our surrounding states that does not have expanded Medicaid. Our hospitals are suffering, our healthcare systems are suffering, and our patients are suffering. I was talking with someone in the medical business yesterday. I said, how are we paying for all of the COVID patients? What is happening? How is it being done? Hospitals are taking a hit, and people are taking personal they're going in debt, and they're having to take bankruptcy for medical expenses. It's very upsetting. So we really need to be able to take care of people, or if they're going to move away, why would they not go to one of the surrounding states around us and where they could be taken care of? And right now, with the job market, people can just about go anywhere because everybody's looking for help. So I think it all comes together, and there's no reason not to do it. I'm certainly hoping this year that might occur.
One big question I might ask you here while I got you is, we've seen schools having to close today because they have staffing shortages, and I know there's maybe not an easy solution to that with the current situation with the pandemic, but I know there's been a cap on 40 hours of remote learning. That was something done by the legislature last year. Do you think that the legislature will relook at that and see if there's maybe a better solution here that they can help the schools?
Oh, I certainly hope so. A reasonable attitude towards education would be so welcome. The chair of that committee has in the House has not been reasonable. As far as I'm concerned, she's been punitive. There's been a lot over the last few years of just cut because they know that we must be spending too much. But the governor does fully fund the K-12 system, and the money will be there. I would hope that could be lifted.
All right.
I know that one of the other things I want to be sure and talk about, and of course, there's just so much in this beautiful document. We're saving so much money in this plan by paying cash for some of the projects we have on the radar. We're supposed to redo the docking building at a cost of $120 million, and that would have been bonded, and we're saving the interest on that, and also the KDHE lab that's going to go into that building for $65 million. And then they're remodeling a state defense building and an armory in Hayes, and all of these are in her budget to be funded with cash, saving the state $252 million in interest money in the future by not bonding that and by paying for it in cash. And also, I think it's kind of interesting because if things change and we need to bond some of this, then we have that opportunity. But, you know, it's we're starting out with the idea of paying for things as we go. And paying off debt, we're paying off debt to CAPERS and to other things that we have incurred, this closing the bank of KDOT and taking care of things with money that we actually have. Stop borrowing from our economic development fund. We're just stopping the shell game. There was a $4 surcharge put on our driver's licenses fees. Oh, I think it was done in 03, so we could modernize the vehicle department to bring it up to date so people could utilize the service better. And that's been paid for a few years, and the fee had never gone away, so she's taking that away. So $4 on your driver's license that will affect everybody. It's only $4, but the state has been using that to pay its way. So those things are all going away. We're just so pleased that the governor has looked at every way we have played the shell game and tried to straighten things out. And also the school payment has been made at the June 30th. We're supposed to pay a school payment, and we've been paying half of it on June 30th and half on July 1st, and that's created a nightmare for school systems. We won't have to do that. So it is really a relief to me, and I feel very proud to be a part of this.
Well, Representative Carlin, I wish we had more time, but we got to stop it there. Thank you for the time this morning. We'll talk again real soon.
Oh, thank you so much, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye. Have a good day.
You too. Again, 66th District Representative Sidney Carlin joining us here from the Kansas Legislature here on News Radio KMAN.
Boy, a lot of really good information there.
Yeah.
So. All right. We appreciate Representative Carlin calling in and joining us this morning. We'll be doing this on Fridays with our local representatives here on News Radio KMAN.